welcome everyone to this, the Wednesday edition of the Grace Hour. And we want to welcome you to this morning's broadcast and hope that many of you are becoming familiar with our new time change as we begin our broadcast each and every day, Monday through Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you are, again, joining us for our Wednesday edition of our broadcast. Thanks so much for taking the time to join us. And we hope you'll be able to stay with us for the next hour as we get things started with a devotional message. That will, of course, be followed up as we open the phone lines here at the Grace Hour and invite you, our listeners, to join us live. And we've got a great theme all this week in the Grace Hour, the reality of the resurrection and the importance of you and I understanding the reality of that resurrection, what it means to us. And yesterday, of course, we covered that once and for all sacrifice of Christ, which so satisfied the just and righteous demands of a holy God that God raised him from the dead. And that sacrifice need never be repeated again. And thank God for that. It's once, for all, forever. And of course, it perfects those who believe on it and accept it by grace through faith. Well, again, you're listening live to the Grace Hour, friends, and we're looking forward to today's devotional message, which is going to emphasize the hope that the resurrection gives. And I think our hearts indeed are filled with hope. That hope actually anchors our souls. We read about that in Hebrews, the sixth chapter. And an anchor that, you know, when you think of an anchor in a ship or a boat, you let down the anchor. But in our case, the anchor is not let down. The anchor is upward. We are anchored to God in Christ, and that is above. As we mentioned on yesterday's broadcast, that's where we find ourselves, seated above in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And of course, we are to have our minds fixed and stayed on that which is above. So looking forward to today's Grace Hour message. A special guest joining us in the studio today, Pastor Tom Sliva, will be bringing that message. And then following his message, we'll open the phone lines, your opportunity to join us live on the broadcast. And it's quite simple to do. Get to a phone, dial one of these numbers, join us live, and again, share your thoughts with us. Could be a comment, a question, a testimony, a counseling need that we could assist you with. And of course, as always, your prayer requests are welcome here at the Grace Hour. And if you'd like the body of Christ to join you for whatever those needs that you may have are, don't hesitate to pick up that phone and to give us a call. The toll-free number in all of North America, now that's 800-338-7060. Again, doesn't matter if you're in the continental United States or Canada, give us a call on that toll-free number. The local number, for those of you in the greater Baltimore area listening to the Grace Hour today, well, that would be 410-483-3700. And we want to remind our listeners in the greater Baltimore area that tonight, Wednesday evening, is our midweek service, which begins promptly at 7 p.m., and we want to extend the invitation to all of you. Come on out and join us tonight, right in the middle of the week. A great time to have a church service, don't you think? When perhaps the pressures are starting to build in our lives, and we need a word from God, well, that's what we'll have for you here tonight, and we hope you can join us. Don't forget, we have a mother's room for the newborns. We have a junior church program for the young children as well. And there is a nursery program for those that are a little older than might find themselves in the mother's room with a newborn. So plenty of services available for you so that you can come in and enjoy the message from the Word of God, the worship together with the body of Christ. And we believe that you'll leave encouraged and built up in your faith. That's all happening tonight right here at the Greater Grace World Outreach. We're located at 6025 Moravia Park Drive, right here in Baltimore. Our zip code is 21206. Plenty of parking, well-lit parking, and we invite you to join us tonight. Well, without further ado, let's hand this over to Pastor Tom Sliva for today's Grace Hour message.
Okay. excuse me. Thank you, Pastor Love. All right, so we're going to talk about resurrection hope, and I'm going to read just a little a couple passages in the book of Job just to kind of get us oriented to the idea of resurrection and hope, the hope that comes through resurrection. In Job 14 and verse 7, it says this, Lord bless these thoughts, in Christ's name, amen. For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease, though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stock thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud, and bring forth boughs like a plant. So this is Job speaking of a tree that, and we've all seen a tree perhaps cut down, you know, down to the ground almost as a stock, maybe a stock in the ground. We write it off, it's gone, that tree's over. Then we come back in a year or two and we notice there's sprouts coming out of that tree. Again, it didn't really die, right? It's finding life again. And it's a picture of resurrection. But Job attaches the word hope to it. And he says, you know, that's hope. So maybe as a first picture of the idea, it's hope is something that gives me the assurance that even if I die, I'll be coming back to life. Yeah, it's the simplicity of it. Even if we're written off totally, even if we're gone, there's something beyond that. That is something that produces something in me which we could call hope. So I was thinking of that. Colossians 1:27 defines the New Testament hope for us in the sense of Christ in us, the hope of glory. Because Christ lives in a believer, attached to this Christ that is in us is the idea of hope, is hope in us, the hope of glory. I was reading and studying this whole idea of hope in a kind of a fresh way. But I was going to relate it to the idea of our redemption, also our restoration, and also reconciliation. These are all concepts in the Bible that speak of the release of hope in a person's soul. You know, redemption, of course, we were purchased out of the slave market of sin. We were brought forth from the pit. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says we were bought with a price. And Ephesians 1:7 says we have redemption through the blood of Christ. Forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. I don't know about you, but I'm starting to get hope already in my soul just reading that. Restoration happens at the point of salvation. We're restored to what Adam and Eve lost in the garden. Instead of covering ourselves up with fig leaves, running from God, being afraid, instead we are restored. We're restored to a place of acceptance by God. We have access to God now. We're restored in that sense. So, in addition to that restoration, we also have Psalm 23 that speaks of our restoration. He restores our soul. And then 1 John 1:9 teaches us that if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. So, along the way, in order that this hope be continuous in us, we're going to take our failures and sins to God, and we're going to be restored into this hope that is in us. The third principle is reconciliation, and this is simply access to the Father. And Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13 through 18 is a great little passage. It says, "Now, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." This is part of the new hope that we have because of the resurrection. We're made nigh by the blood of Christ. "For he is our peace, who hath made both one, hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of two one new man, so making peace." You know, the commandments and life under the law was not a great hope giver. You know, in fact, living under the dictates of the law was more like, dealing with, a fearful thing, wondering if I'm ever going to be able to do this thing. Will I ever have any hope? Will I ever be able to, the law couldn't deal with the root problem in mankind, the guilt. It could not sanctify a person. It could not bring a person closer to God. It can only point out the inward pollution that's in a soul. It couldn't cleanse a person's conscience. And it couldn't clean up a person from dead works or the works of the flesh. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, the dead were dead, being dead in trespasses and sins. Couldn't do that. The law could do one thing. It could lead us to Christ. And that's Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. It was a schoolmaster. It schoolmastered or tutored us, or it was, the Greek brings out, it was a pedagogue that meant a faithful servant entrusted with the care of the young person from childhood to puberty, to keep him from evil, physical and moral, and accompany him to his studies and amusements. He was a guide. The law was meant to guide us to Christ, the hope giver. It wasn't meant to give us hope. It was meant to guide us to the hope giver. And that it did a good job of doing. But under the law, we were not necessarily experiencing hope. Now, it's very interesting because I think the thing is, Jeremiah 29:11, which is a familiar passage for us, is kind of an illustration of hope also. "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end." You know, hope is a confident expectation. Do we have a confident expectation in our lives today? This is very different. He said this, then in 29:12, "Then shall you call on me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you." You know, the assurance that God is listening to me, listening to my prayers. "And you shall seek me, and you shall find me." What an incredible thing that came, a new hope. "And when you search for me with all your heart." Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 is a great verse that speaks of hope. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Hope and faith go together. Now, here's the thing, though. Hope, and this is a quote from somebody that just defined it very well. Hope means that faith has already been established as the substance of things hope for and the evidence of things not seen. So, in other words, if we read that verse, faith is the substance of things hoped for this idea of hope being substantiated in my soul. Hope is substantiated. It's a substance. It's more than a concept. It's a, we can call it this way, it's a experiential reality in the soul. It's something that goes beyond, and I wouldn't say we want to go beyond, but it's not necessarily just objective. It's also in me, subjective through the Holy Spirit. It's produced in me. It's not a feeling, but it is something that's very real through Christ in me. So, and then we see this, that hope also produces patience, and that is 1 Thessalonians 1:3. Why? Because of the constancy of hope in my life. I can be patient. I can abide. I can abide in Christ. I can live in the moment. My future has been settled. Hope is about the future. Faith is about the present. But my future is settled if hope is in me. And as Pastor Love said very beautifully yesterday, we've seen a resurrection. We've seen Christ resurrected. What does it mean for me? It means that I'm going to be resurrected. It means that I have the assurance of resurrection. It means that, yeah, we can die on the earth. Here we die. Our body goes to the grave. But how about this? The assurance that we will come again. We will rise again. We will be alive again. And not only that, our loved ones who in Christ who have gone before us, they are going to be there. We are going to see them again. And that is great hope-giving. That is a very great hope-giving thing. And I love it because as Pastor Love said just a moment ago, Hebrews 6:19, hope is an anchor in my soul. It's a steadfast thing. It's a surety. It's there. So in Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, I'll share this and then I'll give it a break for a minute. But Romans 5 is a great passage that speaks about hope in a couple of different ways. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. With this access, this is tremendous. This is beautiful because we have access. We have a door. There's a door of hope. Valley of Achor became a door of hope. Spoken of in Jeremiah chapter 7, the Valley of Achor, reiterated in Hosea chapter 2, the Valley of Achor in that chapter became a door of hope, a doorway, hope, a doorway for us into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in that hope. We're rejoicing in the hope of this access into something that we do not deserve. We can live continually in something that we do not deserve because of grace and because of the cross and because of resurrection, and that produces hope in us. But not only so, it says in verse 3, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Patience, experience, and experience hope. Well, I thought we had hope already. Oh, well, this is hope worked in. This is not just the hope of an understanding. This is not just the hope of perception. This is a real and living hope, a lively hope, First Peter called it, that is in a man. It's in his experience. This is hope. And that hope maketh not ashamed. And that is such a beautiful thing, because not only do we have the picture of the cross, See, the Old Testament was all about pictures. The Old Testament was all about types and pictures of good things to come. But now the good things have come. And now they are being fulfilled in our soul. And that's what this is speaking of. Through trials and through our experience gained through trials, it produces in us something beautiful, hope, that takes away my shame, that is not making me ashamed. I mean, guilt is gone from my soul because hope has replaced it in there. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. Love is part of this hope. Love is the norm of the Christian life. Love in the soul of a man. Hope in the soul of a man. Faith in the soul of a man. Guilt-free in the soul of a man. Confidence in the soul of a man. And a looking forward and realizing my future is all settled in the soul of a man. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Doesn't that gives me a lot of hope. I'll tell you, I don't know about you, but that gives me a lot of hope. Yeah, see, it's not, we're not looking at our sin like we had to do under the law. We're not thinking of ourselves in those terms like we had to do under the law. We're not thinking of ourselves as second-rate citizens as we had to do under the law. We're not covering up our lives. We're not protecting ourselves. We're not hiding from God and hiding from one another. Well, no, because Jesus Christ came to save sinners, Paul said, of who I am the chief. That gives me a lot of hope because, you know what it means? God accepts sinners. Jesus Christ takes sinners. He accepts sinners. That is the most beautiful thing. For more than being, much more than now being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Oh my gosh. What a blessing of hope. If when we were yet enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. That is the most beautiful thing. Just let me read this little story and then I'll give it back to you, Pastor Love. Excuse me. I got so many papers here. This is a story that Dr. Stevens told in a book. Once a man who had slandered and gossiped against Christians called me to the hospital. He had been in a very serious car accident. Badly shaken by what had happened, he was sweating profusely, and of all people, he called for me. When I got there, I tried to take the man's hand and present him with the gospel. He pulled away and said, "Oh no, I have run down Christians most of my life, and now I am going to hell. I deserve hell." At that point, this man could not see the door of hope that was before him. Together, we wept and got on my knees. Together we wept and I got on my knees, taking the authority of the Word of God with tears of compassion. I prayed for God to reveal his grace and mercy to this man who was crying out. I prayed that he could receive hope for a new life. Finally, he clutched my hand. "I guess it isn't too late for me." suddenly the inspiration and divine impartation of hope stilled his soul. He came through and recovered to become a very wonderful, helpful believer. I don't know about you folks, but hope is a great thing. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Hope indeed is a great thing, and we have it in Christ. And if you're listening to the Grace Hour today and you have no hope, you know, someone has once said that life without Christ is a hopeless end, but life with Christ is an endless hope. And that's the truth for everyone who has believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe you're listening today and you've never made that decision. We encourage you to do just that. Make that decision and place your trust in Him. Believe on Him. That's all it takes. Simple faith brings you into a place where God accepts you. You trust Christ as payment for your sins, then you find the favor of God. The grace of God will save you, will deliver you, will redeem your life, as we heard today. You know, Job, that, well, he cried out in the 17th chapter, in the 15th verse, he said, "Where is my hope?" And like the beautiful hymn says, and we can all agree with this, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly, completely lean on Jesus' name. For again, our hope is in Him only. Great thoughts shared in the devotional message today by Pastor Sleaver. And of course, if you were listening today, friends, and maybe some of you are brought to that place where you had, you know, thought about making that decision, maybe you've made that decision, well, we certainly would love to hear from you here at the Grace Hour. Give us a call, and if you do that, then we'll make sure that someone sends you some literature and some encouraging books or booklets that will help you as you start your new life in Christ. And again, for you that have received Christ and trusted Him in a personal way, now you have the One who gives you endless hope. And all it takes is simple faith. Well, the phone lines are open. We invite you to join us. We hope that those of you that are or have been listening can do just that. Pick up your phone and give us a call here at the Grace Hour and join the conversation. Share your thoughts with us. This kind of hope that we heard about today in the message gives us such assurance. And I love the what you said at the outset of your devotional message today, Pastor Tom. You know, even if we die, you know, we live. Because if the resurrection is not a reality, then as the Apostle Paul says in writing to the Corinthians, and we are of all men most miserable. And this faith that we proclaim, this faith that we exercise, it's empty, it has no value, and it serves no purpose. But that is simply not the case. The reality of the resurrection is something that the Scriptures proclaim, the early disciples proclaimed, the witnesses that saw Jesus proclaimed it. And if you're going to make a case against the resurrection, you're going to have to, well, you're going to have to interview up to and beyond 500 witnesses, and you'll have to disprove their testimony. And of course, that was something that did not happen. So we, you know, we place our faith confidently in the death of Christ and the resurrection of the dead. And again, He was delivered for our offenses, but raised again for our justification. And I love that, as someone has described justification, it's just as if I'd never sinned. And that's the way God sees you, perfect in Christ. And I love the fact that you brought out, you know, the purpose of the law, because still we talk to so many people and their intention is to find a way into God's favor through law keeping.
Yeah.
And that just is going to leave them empty, frustrated, without rest, and, of course, with the question in their hearts, have I done enough? That awful, awful word, enough. Have I done enough? Have I been good enough? Will God look at my life and see that there's been enough done that renders me acceptable in his sight? And of course, we know the answer to that question.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking about the, the idea of, for instance, the idea of peace, and when it comes down to reconciliation, okay, so making peace, Christ is our peace, broken down the middle wall partition. But that word peace means to join. The word irene, peace, it means to join. So legally, we have been joined to Christ. Legally, we have been joined to God. The middle wall partition, the enmity that was between us and God is slain. So peace has been made. But that's just the beginning. Because a person could understand that very well, but still be living under the law in their own soul. They could still be having that kind of thing happening inside of them. But when you get around to Colossians 3:15, I believe that verse says this, let peace rule in your heart. Let peace rule. And I can hear our pastor saying, as an umpire in our heart, let peace. Now, how is that going to happen? Is it the principle? No, it's the peace being made real in my soul. It's experiential peace. So, because now it's in my heart, now it's becoming who I am. So God's intentions are not just to legally release us from the law, but to place, he not only did that, but through resurrection, having now the ability to place his own son in my life. I'm born again. I have Christ in me. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. Of him are you in Christ Jesus, who is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. He is our peace, who has broken down the middle wall. But it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ now is in my life and producing in my soul the release. I don't have to do the law. I'm not under the law. The law did its job in my life. It brought me to Christ. And now in Christ, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. I no longer have need of the schoolmaster. So, but the reality of that in my subjective being, through the Spirit of God being my new subjective, let's put it that way, not the old man, but now I have an operation. I have the Spirit's operation in my soul is that I have confidence. I don't have to think about all the things I used to think about. I don't have to think about how am I doing? Am I doing all right? Am I doing the right thing? Am I going anywhere? All these kinds of things. Oh, I screwed up yesterday. Or the whole deal, whatever the law brings. And I was under it for years, so I should know. I should know a lot about it, but now I mean, if nothing else would be a great hope for somebody. If I could tell you, you don't have to live that way anymore. That would be a great hope if you could get, and it is a great hope that God has given us, so.
It's amazing. And I love the fact that you brought out how the purpose of the law, and I think that this is still such an issue in people's lives because so many of us grew up, maybe it was the religious background that we had, or maybe it was self-imposed law, maybe just something in our conscience that said, listen, if you don't fulfill the requirements that God has laid before men, you will never find peace with God and you will never have a place in heaven. I mean, it just seems so sensible. It just seems so reasonable. Sensible. I think that that's why people continue to move in the direction of the law, because it just naturally, humanly speaking, makes such sense.
Yeah.
There's got to be something I can do in order to be saved. And, you know, this was recently illustrated, Pastor Tom, when we were in Europe. We were in Warsaw, Poland for the European Convention. Mm. And we had this wonderful opportunity, and I won't get into the details, but a large amount of money was raised and sent to us while we were there to distribute that money among these Ukrainian refugees that we found throughout the city of Warsaw, at the train stations, at the bus stations, because, of course, there were hundreds and thousands of them during this current conflict. And when we approached these people simply to give them money with no strings attached, they could not believe it. And many initially rejected it because they thought, there has to be something I will be required to do if you're just giving me this money. In other words, it's so contrary to our natures to receive something freely.
Yeah.
But that's what the grace of God is all about. Whereas the law says, this is what you have to do to live. But the problem is, as you brought out, it gives us no power. The law, Paul the Apostle put it this way, what the law could not do because it was weak through the flesh.
Exactly.
Yeah, nothing wrong with the law. The law was right, and just, and holy. The problem is, it had no power to make us that way.
Right.
And our problem is the flesh.
Yes.
So the law couldn't cleanse us. The law, somebody described it this way, the law was like a mirror. And you get in front of the mirror and it shows you how dirty you are. But it has no power to make you clean.
Yeah.
It doesn't wash you. Right? The law and its purpose was simply to condemn. That's it. And I think that that's so shocking to people to hear that. What do you mean the law was given to condemn me? That's exactly what God says. The law was given to condemn us. And then, as you beautifully pointed out, to bring us to Christ himself, where we could find acceptance, redemption, and justification through his shed blood.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's an amazing thing. Yeah. I think I was sharing something close to that recently, and it's come to me many times, and you know, it's funny, but you know what? I was saying this, if the person would really get the idea of the grace of God, then you would burst into tears because it's so precious. It's so hard to believe. I mean, you know, like you're saying, it's like I'm so attuned to this idea of the law, you know. And I remember myself even being brought up under a system of the law in a church, you know, religion. Leaving the church, you know, not even staying there anymore, but nevertheless, well, I knew they were right. You know, I'm still under the law, so to speak. I'm out here. I'm not going to church anymore, but I'm still under the law in my soul because that was so right. And to be honest with you, somebody told me about the grace of God, that God would accept me, that God, Jesus Christ, came to save sinners, and that, you know, like a sinner could go to heaven. It was the most incredible thought I've ever had in my life. It brought me to tears. I mean, I can't remember. I remember just weeping my eyes out. Mm. I couldn't believe it was so. And I feel like some people won't go there because they would be too embarrassed to weep. You know, they would be too embarrassed to like, oh my gosh, like I don't want to, you know, if you don't tell me that, I'm going to burst into tears right now. You know, so it's such an interesting thing. We're shot through and through with this concept that we have to perform for God.
That's it.
And that's you know, and I that's such a deep thing. So
it's that there's no gospel there. Because if it comes down to our performance instead of God's promise, we're in big trouble.
There's no hope.
Yeah.
There is no hope. Hope is excluded. Wow. You know, it's on the shelf.
And praise God, Romans, the 6th chapter, the 14th verse, reminds us we are no longer under the law, but we are under grace.
Yeah.
With that kind of roof, we can make it.
Not
just survive, but we can thrive. We can grow
in
the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Such good news. What a gospel. Let's go to the phones. Alan is first. He's joining us from the Baltimore, Maryland area. Alan, welcome to the Grace Hour.
Welcome there. Thank you very much there, Pastor Love and Pastor Tim. It's been a while since I called, and it was like amazing with this conversation that we have about people that are under the law. Yesterday, went on outreach, my wife and myself, and we went down to the Northeast Market. And I just simply was getting ready to hand the lady the track, and the track said, you know, fear, the one that we have about fear. And she says, oh, you don't have to hand that to me. My dad was a reverend. My mother is a deaconess, and I know all about the Bible. I know all about it, and there's nothing that you can teach me. And she was just like going off on me, and I just stood there, and I just smiled, and I said, okay. Because it's the one thing that you say, that peace passes all understanding. It took me to a greater level to know that I have a Savior that redeemed me, that restored me, that, as Pastor Tom said, is the restoration. Because if I was that old man, I would have went back at her and said, you know, this is how it should be. But it said the peace that passes understanding. I walked away, and the one person that I went to net the next just looked at me and said, that was nice how you handled that. How did you learn that? I said, well, I go to a church that has a pastor that draws on the board. And the simple thing is, when I understand this in simplicity in my heart, it changed me. It settled me down. It brought me to a new revelation that I don't have to worry about tit for tat. It says railing for railing, evil for evil. I just knew I walked away, but I understand that word rhema. And that rhema come to me, and it says that you walked away and you knew greater things. And that, just like Beth Tom said, peace. I just walked away. And it was so beautiful to be able to do that. As they say, old dogs can learn new tricks. I learned a set.
Wow.
Set under authority, that I understand that my Savior lives because he made intercessions with a God that teaches me how to have that hope of the resurrection and hope of the glory, that I no longer feel the way I used to feel. And it's so beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think Pastor Tom brought out that peace, you know, that word means to join two parties together. And in reality, the war that we once had with God is over.
Mm.
It's over.
Is it something?
Yeah. And peace replaces the war that once, because I think, you know, I think we once were, I know I was at war with God. We were fighting. We were battling. I assumed that my performance was what he wanted. I couldn't live up to those standards. And then, of course, with a revelation of the cross and the Holy Spirit opening up our eyes. And I think, you know, sometimes, like that woman that you met, you know, sometimes people want to talk about all of their religious credentials and what they've done and who they're related to and how long they've been a part of this ministry or that religion. I think sometimes that can almost work like a vaccination, you know, where you get a little shot of religion and it kind of fights off the real thing when it's standing before you and the invitation to come to Christ is present. We just have to guard our hearts, not trust in our religious background or who we know. I remember someone approaching me once in the body of Christ and saying, you know, and looking and contemplating the future, saying it's all about who you know. And he wasn't talking about Christ. He was talking about being connected with the right people. But that's not how God wants us to operate in his kingdom. He wants us to have a relationship with him, and out of that relationship with him flows all of our other relationships in the body of Christ and with those outside of the body of Christ.
Amen. Peace changes our position.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I no longer think of it the same way.
Well said. Thank you, Alan.
Take care. Amen.
God bless you.
Thanks, sir.
6025 Moravia Park Drive. Don't miss the service. Starts at 7 o'clock.
We'll be there.
Get your seat.
We know you will be, too. God
All
bless
right.
you.
God
Thanks
bless
so
you.
Much. Let's go next to Aretta. She's here in the Baltimore area, joining us live in the Grace Hour. Aretta, welcome.
Welcome, Pastor Love and Pastor Skiver. Pastor Love, the resurrection, Christ's resurrection, give us the living hope. Give us that assurance in our soul that whether we live or die, we'll be in his presence in glorified body when he comes for his church, his bride. Whether we are alive, we'll be caught up to meet him in the air, or in death, we'll come back and get our body. And that's the beautiful thing in this life. My friend, we have a friend whom son passed away. They cremated him on Monday, 21-year-old. He was a Hindu. And because of his religion, my daughter, she's a Christian. She said she's not going to the cremation. I told her, you do the right thing, because I do not want you to go in that area, because they can have their own service, what we don't believe in. And so she didn't go. But, you know, my heart grieves for that young man, 21-year-old. They gun him down. And he's a Hindu. You have, when you die like that, Pastor Love, you have no hope. Yeah. You have no hope. The only hope you have in this life is in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And when I was back home in St. Paul, I used to talk to them all the time. And the father used to argue with me. I say, it's Christ. In Christ, is this our solid rock, our firm foundation. I tell him, you die without him. You will stand before him at the great white throne judgment. And you, as soon as you die, you regret. And you know something? Everyone who died without Christ, Pastor Love, they know the scripture instant from Genesis to Revelation. And they know the truth. Because you know why? The veil is lifted. They have no more. When you die, the veil is lifted. You have no more veil to show you don't understand this and you don't understand that. The veil is lifted, so you know the truth.
Well,
and to
says,
die.
Yeah, as Jesus said, you'll know the truth. And the truth will set you free.
Set you free.
Yeah.
You all have a blessed day. I love you all.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Aretta. Appreciate that call. We have our phone lines open at 800-338-7060. Give us a call. And that's toll-free, of course, locally here in Baltimore, 410-483-3700. You know, for some, you know, what Aretta said might sound very, very narrow, you know, like Jesus only. Well, remember, he is the one that said, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Mm.
No man can come to the Father but by me.
Yes.
So it is narrow. But we don't want people to have and to go away with this understanding that when he said this, the way is narrow, what he means, like, you know, you hear people say, you got to walk the straight and narrow. Well, it's narrow because it's only grace.
Yeah.
It's narrow because it's only through the cross. It's narrow because it's only found in Christ. That's the narrow nature of the salvation that God provides for the world. You know, not all roads lead to heaven any more than all roads lead to St. Louis, Missouri.
Yeah.
You know, if you take the wrong road, you're going to end up in Bangor, Maine.
Yeah.
Or, you know, Orlando, Florida. But if you want to go to St. Louis, Missouri, you better get on the right road.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to go into the presence of God and be saved for all of eternity, Jesus said, I'm the way.
Yes.
Don't get preoccupied with any other ways.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Hey, let's go back to the phones. Lauren is joining us. Lauren is listening to the Grace Hour up in Port Chester, New York. Lauren, welcome.
Good morning, Pastor Love. And I'm sorry to say this, but I forget the other gentleman's name.
George.
No, it's Pastor Tom Sleva.
Oh, Pastor Tom, how do you do?
I'm sorry. How are you, sir? I'm teasing you.
I'm doing all right. It's kind of sunny up here today. Anyhow, what I wanted to talk to you about, I'm going to make this couple things, make this real quick. There was a man years ago, I think he's passed on now. His name is Paul Little, and he wrote in his book about giving away your faith, and he pointed out about the resurrection. He said that just because people would die for saying that they believed in the resurrection, it doesn't actually prove that happened. But he also pointed out that people aren't willing to die for something that they know is false.
That's a good point. Mm. Yeah. Would you?
No, I mean, it would be hard. Be honest with you, it'd be hard enough believing even what I do. But anyhow, the one other thing I wanted to share with you, Pastor Love, I'm not being a wise guy this time, is I heard that on the 31st of May up in Boston, they're having law enforcement night up there. And so I was on my internet this morning, and you can get yourself a ticket because I know that you're interested in the Red Sox. So I just want to pass that on to you.
All right. Well, I appreciate that. I'd like to think that I could be there for that night, but I'm not sure.
I feel you'll find a way to possibly get up that way.
Yeah,
are you originally from Massachusetts, aren't you?
That's right. Right outside of Boston in a town or city called Woburn, Massachusetts.
Oh, isn't there a college up that way?
Oh, there's a number of colleges throughout the greater Boston area. I don't know that there's one in Woburn necessarily, but throughout the greater Boston area, you find some very, prestigious schools, colleges, and universities.
Well, I was in Boston a couple of years ago at the train station, and because I was going to see my former pastor's retirement, and that is really a beautiful city. So, anyhow, man, have a wonderful day. Let's get back to the calls, okay?
Thank
Bye-bye
you.
Now.
Thanks, Lauren. Great to hear from
Thank
you.
Thank you, sir.
Let's go to some of the comments on Facebook Live. Carol Massengill wrote and said, great, great words of encouragement and comfort today. Thank you, Pastor Tom. Tess writes, thanks for the awesome devotional, Pastor. I've been inspired and I'm stirred up. And then Magnus, if we can, Magnus says, greetings from Malmo, Sweden. We're doing great here, thriving in God's grace. New people coming. Also starting a new outreach in, looks like, Halmstad, about 110 kilometers north of Malmo. We had a short visit in Malmo by Pastor Mushbig from Hungary, blessing us during the weekend. And please pray for two brothers, both named George, two Swedish men that are hungry for God, hungry for the resurrection life of God, hungry to share with others. We had rap sessions that lasted for 2 hours with them. George said on Sunday, quote, I can sit here and listen forever, end quote. Amazing times. Thank you. That's from Pastor Magnus and the team in Malmo, Sweden. Wow, what a great report.
Wow.
Huh? Good things are happening in Sweden, friends. Keep them in your prayers. And then Suzette, our precious sister. Oh, we miss hearing from you, Suzette. She writes and says, Pastor, could you please explain again the connection between hope and faith found in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1?
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's not so. Well, what Pastor said was this. He said that pertaining to hope, that verse he said hope is faith substantiated. Or in other words, faith is the substance of things hoped for. But when hope actually becomes substance in a person's life, then that's what hope is. That's what hope is. So in other words, it's not just wishful thinking. It's not just thinking. Okay, maybe this could happen. No, it's a confident expectation. That, for instance, like, okay, so I have heard that, that when I die, my body will be resurrected. I've heard 1 Corinthians chapter 15, for instance, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, etc. So the thing that I'm going to say is, though, if that is a surety in my soul, then I have hope. If I'm not wondering about that all the time, then hope is substantiated in me. And that's what God wants to give us. And that's the hope that's spoken of in Romans chapter 5, verse 1 through 5. The hope that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, and experience hope. And hope, that hope makes not ashamed, for the love of God is shed abroad in my heart. The very character of God now is dominating my inward man, my inward soul. Faith working by love. Love in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6. So I just have this reality that's mine now. That is hope, that we call it hope, is Christ in me, and I'm walking around with a lot of confidence in my soul. You know, even if I screw up today, which probably I will, it doesn't take me out of the eternity that's destined, you know, that I have for today. But on the other hand, too, with that hope, like Pastor Love was saying also, you know, it gives me a whole lot of confidence for my moment, for right now. You know, it's giving me confidence to sit here in Grace Hour and talk. You know, why? Because what do I got to lose? You know, I got Christ. You know, I mean, I got future. Like he's not gonna pull the rug out from underneath me. He's not gonna say, well, you screwed up, so you're gonna get demerits. You're gonna have to be put on the shelf for a while. You know, God doesn't do those kind of things. He doesn't, and the last thing, of course, he's never going to do, he's never going to send me to hell. Thank you, Jesus. Mm. You know, so I think, I don't know if that explains it or not, but anyhow, that's what I was getting out of that. So,
yeah, it does very well. And I think, as you said, it produces this confident expectation from God. And as we close the broadcast today, friends, we hope that you have that hope. We hope and pray. Yeah. That you have that kind of hope. And again, you say, well, I'm just, my life is so troubled. Well, remember, that's, Pastor Sliva mentioned it in his message, that's the Valley of Achor. Valley of Achor, the word Achor means trouble. That's what it was in Joshua chapter 7. And God said that's what it will always be. But then you get to Hosea chapter 2, and that's when God said, you know what? I'm going to build a door of hope in the midst of your trouble. You're in trouble today? Look for that door. There is a door of hope in the midst of your trouble. You say, how can I find it? You find it by faith in Christ. Believe God. Trust him. He'll lead you to that door, and you will find hope. In fact, it's Christ himself. He said, I am the door. He's the way. He's the resurrection, the life. He's the light of the world. He's the door. Find him and go through and find life. Thanks for joining us, friends. Don't forget our service tonight at 7 p.m. right here in Baltimore. We hope you can make it. We'll be back tomorrow at the same time. You can join us then.